Welcome everyone to Zena Neuber's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 82. This podcast shows for all the Zena Neuber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So hello everyone, welcome back to another XNU show. I hope everyone is doing well. Me, myself, and I personally, been put through the wars. Now that it is starting to get harder out here, my inevitable beautiful wife has decided that we need to get into that honey-do list. And let's just say that's been fun. As I've shared with some of you via email, the latest and greatest project was in the boat house, the boat shed, to take all the pavers out and redo the paving because the ants undermined where the pavers were. So, of course, when my wife put my motorcycle back, it fell through one of the pavers. One of the tires fell through. So, of course, we had to go and yank the bike out and then pull this up. And that was interesting because these ants, according to one of my listeners, she goes, what kind of ants did they raise over here in Oz that they can make these kind of holes? One of the holes was literally a foot and a half deep. And, you know, it's like they were slowly digging their way to China, which is not that far away if you really think about it from here. So we had to dig up all these pavers. And now this is in an area about 12 foot by 8 foot. And, that makes for an interesting day. And we started working at it little by little, chugging along, my wife and I. And then we got a contractor friend of ours who, her husband or partner was working up on the roof of the house fixing something else. She was down helping us. And we decided we needed to move this planter box that we have. And it's an old horse trough converted into a planter box. Now, I don't know if most of you know about horse troughs. They're quite heavy, and especially if they're made out of sandstone and cement. So the three of us decided, okay, we'll get a crowbar and some planks, and we'll put the planks underneath and shift it with the crowbar and slide it along. And you can just hear the uh-oh coming on this one, can't you? So, remind me to let you know that if something's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. So, count of three. Julie takes the crowbar up, and we're sliding along, and I'm like, okay, hold on a second, because I want to shift one of the planks. Well, she didn't. She let the crowbar go, and down it came on my two fingers, on my left hand. And I yanked my hand out, my fingers out, which they barely came along with me, and ripped the glove off my hand, and out comes the really nice choice few words that I can say in 3-4 different languages. And it's being bilingual, it's okay, but when it comes to curse words, my vocabulary is quite expanded. And needless to say, out comes the ice packs and the water, cold water, putting the ice in the water to freeze the hand down, and I'm shaking at this point, and tears are streaming down my eyes, and I'm just cursing, and I don't want to look at my hand. And, I've got my ring finger and my middle finger, my left hand. The nails are black from having them smashed. They didn't break, you know. I guess I have strong bones versus having them smashed. And mind you, this is the same hand that I broke my wrist, not my wrist, but the palm underneath your pinky, the palm bone in there, and my ring finger. I broke that one about a year and a half ago as well. So, Yeah. It was fun. And then later on in the day, if that wasn't bad enough, I'm a glutton for punishment. I've been called into one email buddy calls me the knight in a Monty Python's movie where the knight gets the arm cut off, the ear cut off, the leg cut off, and all that, and merely a flesh wound. Because the next thing to happen was I'm cutting the pavers because these long brick pavers are just a tad too wide for a section that we had to put it back in with the gutter. And I had an angle grinder, and I'm diamond cutting these things off, so everything's going great with that regard. So I finished up, and I stood up and stretched up my back, and I said, is there anything else? No, okay. So I went to step back. Uh-oh, number two. I forgot that the ant hole was there, didn't I? So down I go into the ant hole. And I caught myself, but I wrenched the leg that I had hurt and was recovering from a fortnight ago from running, that I had pulled the muscle. Well, needless to say, this week I haven't run because that muscle is still hurting. And I've done some damage to the tendon, I guess, in my knee or something like that, because I'm going to have to go see the physio tomorrow. It's just not doing good. And that's not good considering, you know, I'm up to almost like 6.5K of running and stuff. So I really need to get it attended to. And, so at that point I said, you know, that's two. Guys, I really don't want to find number three. So I just left them to it, and I came inside and drugged myself up to the eyeballs and just supervised. Well, when I got up Sunday morning and everybody was back into it, back working and stuff, I find that my truck has a flat tire. Now, mind you, one of the tires in my truck is about almost as tall as I am. Not that I'm saying I'm short, but mind you, I'm 5'2¼", quite proudly, and on a good hair day, we're pushing it a little bit more. But my truck is it's not one of those redneck vehicles all the way up in the air. It's not one of those guys, you know, the good old boy Alabama truck or something like that. It's not that high, but it is a very tall tire. It stands about, I don't know, maybe 2.5 feet in diameter. And it's quite wide, so there was no way that I was going to get this tire off. So, of course, I called the NRMA, which is like our AAA back home. And I was like, guy, I need you to come out here and help me, you know. So the guy came out and replaced the tire. And he even had trouble lifting the tire into the back of the truck. So I got the spare on there and went to work and got that fixed up and stuff. But I was just like, you know, that's it. Three strikes, that's it. I'm done. I'm just going to sit back for the rest of the day and drink coffee. And that's all I did. So I had a really restful day. So I was quite happy. But I think I deserve it. I can hear you guys going, aww, not. I can tell your sympathy, you bloody heathens. But that's okay. Well, enough of my misery. We're going to get on with the show. And I'm sure you guys have thoroughly enjoyed my misadventures. So let's get on with it. All right. In this week's book review, coming in from my original book wench, she's back on the line, and thanks, Heather, I appreciate it, and my fingers are crossed for you, darling. God bless. It's called Destiny's Bridge by Carrie Carr. Rancher Lexington Walters is the owner and operator of Rocking W Ranch, not too far from the small Texas town of Somerville. While repairing a fence during a thunderstorm, she sees a car torn from her wooden bridge and swept into the raging creek. She pulls young realtor Amanda Cobble from the water, and the two quickly become good friends. Cut off from the rest of the world and stranded at the ranch, their friendship deepens. Fending off the bad weather, cattle thieves, and other obstacles, the tender friendship grows into everlasting love. So thanks for that, Heather. Movie review this week is Fingersmith, and the plot summary goes along like this. Sue Trinder is a fingersmith, British slang for thief, who lives in the slums of London with a baby farmer, person who looks after unwanted babies, Mrs. Suxby. When a once rich man who gambled all his money away presents them with a scam that has a payout of about £40,000, Sue signs on to swindle rich Maud Lilly. Maud is an orphan who lives with her uncle, but what exactly is going on in Lily's house? Sue opposes Maud's maid so that Mr. Rivers, the gentleman, can get close to and eventually marry her. Their plan is to put Maud into the madhouse and take the money for themselves. All goes astray, though, when Sue falls in love with Maud. And the question is, who can you trust?
Come and get.
The song snippet we hear this week was sent in by Vanessa. Thanks, Vanessa. And it's called Wake Up by Coheed and Cambria. Check it out on YouTube and go buy the CD.
Come and get.
A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Part 4, Section 2. The road was getting more and more crowded, and Gabrielle was spending most of her time making sure she was between Zena and the rest of the people jostling their way into the city of Athens. Given a choice, she'd have gotten off the road altogether, but a long history of attacks had driven the Athenians to build fortifications up around the road as it approached the gates, forcing anyone wanting to enter the city to travel down it. It also made for an excellent route for the rain to travel, and the mud was now up to the horse's knees. Gabrielle was in some discomfort from the pain in her back, but it wasn't nearly the discomfort she'd be in if she was trying to pull her boots out of the muck at every step. Up here, she could keep an eye on Zena at any rate. Gabrielle uncapped the waterskin at her knee and sucked on it. Then she slowly leaned over and offered it to her partner, being careful not to move too fast and startle the obviously suffering warrior.
"Hey, sweetie."
Zena glanced at her and straightened up, then reached out and took the bag, taking a sip from the water silently. Gabrielle heard, just looking at her. Zena's face was stark white under her tan, and her eyes blinked frequently, scattering the raindrops accumulating and dripping down from her hair. The bard could see her partner's jaw muscles clenching repeatedly, and she hadn't said more than a word or two since they started moving. The rain didn't help. The animals and carts surrounding them, filling the air with various stenches, didn't help. The yelling people certainly didn't help. If she had a choice and the sheer physical ability, Gabrielle would have lifted them both up and over the wall they were traveling next to, and escaped out over the green grass to somewhere quiet, where Zena could lie down and she could do her best to take care of her. Gabrielle glanced around, and then she reached out and put a hand on Zena's side, feeling the tension under her fingers as the warrior shifted slightly.
"I think we've got some of those herbs left, see? The ones you gave me when I had that stomach ache the other day? Why don't you take some?"
Zena drew a breath with obvious effort.
"Not until we stop," she replied hoarsely. "Stuff knocks me out."
"So?"
Gabrielle cautiously edged closer, very careful not to jostle her soulmate's injured leg.
"I'll get up behind you and hang on to you, Zena. God knows how long it's going to take us to get up to those gates. We're hardly moving here."
For a moment, she thought Zena was considering it, and that scared her. Then the warrior straightened and pushed her hood back, exposing her head to the rain and scrubbing her fingers through her disheveled hair.
"Nah, I'll be all right."
She handed Gabrielle back the waterskin. Gabrielle nodded, and her lips tensed very briefly into a smile.
"You want me to try and get the arm off at least? Must be killing you."
Zena glanced down at her leg, covered by a fold of her cloak.
"I'm afraid to look, but yeah. Maybe that's not a bad idea."
They had stopped dead for the moment, and she slowly eased her boot out of the stirrup, regaining it a moment later as a white-hot dagger of pure agony lanced through her body and right up to her spine. She uttered only the softest of grunts and closed her eyes tightly as Gabrielle maneuvered closer and slid off of the Aeolus, cradling her leg in one arm and easing it gently back into the stirrup.
Okay, bad idea,"
the bard murmured, feeling a little sick to her stomach.
"Sorry, honey."
"Ow."
"Yeah, me too,"
Zena said, as the pain slowly subsided, leaving red streaks on the backs of her eyeballs. She pulled her cloak to one side and studied her leg. The knee joint already swollen so badly, the straps of her armor were cutting into her skin.
"Nice."
Gabrielle swallowed, sealing the purple bruise and the dried blood.
"Let me cut those, okay?"
She drew out the small dagger she carried at her waist and carefully eased it under the strap,
cutting it in tiny motions so as not to jar Xena more than she had to. About halfway through the process, she felt a gentle touch against her head and looked up, peering through a curtain of rain and her own tears to see a face tense with pain looking back at her.
I'm trying to be careful.
I know. Xena managed to smile. Traffic's moving again. Just leave it. Gabrielle looked behind her, then back at her task.
Just a few more seconds, eh? I know it'll make you feel better not to have this on there.
She went back to her careful sawing, easing the very sharp blade through the worn leather until she felt it part beneath her fingers and come free.
There.
She eased the knee armor back and froze as she saw the destruction underneath.
Oh, Xena.
The warrior stared bleakly at the injury. Explains why it hurts so damn much, she remarked. There were bits of shattered bone extending through her skin, which was purple and black around the entire front of her knee.
What can I do?
Gabrielle whispered. Nothing, for now. The warrior sighed, a little at a loss. The pain was almost overwhelming. Even the raindrops hitting her skin hurt. She felt like throwing up from it, and just the thought of what she'd have to go through to clean the injury and bind her own leg.
See?
Gabrielle grabbed her and held her upright.
Easy.
She glanced around, glad they were in at least a little tiny alcove, out of the main flow of the traffic. It moved by them, obliviously, everyone intent on getting into the city before the sun set. Sorry. The warrior shook her head to clear it, then focused down tight and drove the knowledge of the pain out of her mind for the moment. Let's just get moving. We can't stop here, and if I... She paused as a jolt of pain worked its way up her leg. Stop to take care of this. I'm not going to make it. Gabrielle turned and vaulted up onto Iolus's back, edging him into the traffic flow as Xena followed.
Okay.
She agreed reluctantly.
But when we get someplace safe, you're going to lie down and let me take care of that, whatever it is you need me to do.
That might help. Xena cautiously eased the edge of her cloak back over her leg, glad at least that the throbbing from the tightly strapped armor had dissipated. She couldn't move the limb at all, though, and it worried her. She never had an injury to either of her knees, and she'd taken care to protect them because of how critical the joints were to a fighter. Wouldn't it just figure, she mused in disgust, that it wouldn't be some hack warlord after all, but a damn horse that got her there, one she was trying to help? Damn. How long would it take to heal? Xena gazed out between Argos's ears. What if it didn't? The warrior scowled at herself. Come on, Xena. Cut that crap out and just suck it in and keep moving, will ya? She looked up as a hand appeared in her peripheral vision, holding something curled in its fingers. Instinctively, she reached out her own hand, palm up, and found a small golden orb dropped into it. Her eyes lifted to see Miss Greenwood's looking back at her through the rain, and she popped the honey candy into her mouth and smiled. Where'd you get that? Gabrielle smiled back.
My secret.
She slowed Iolus down so they were side by side again.
I've had to learn to hide them from Dory.
Xena sucked on the honey ball, its familiar sweet taste comforting all out of proportion to what it was. It didn't take any of the pain away, nor did it make it stop raining, but it did waken in her memory of home, and Dory's childish squeals that put a smile on her face anyway, for a moment. Then Argo lurched as she tried to free her hooves from the exhausting mud, and Xena had all she could do to remain in the saddle as her legs clamped down in unconscious reaction, and she almost passed out from the pain. Gabrielle grasped her elbow and looked ahead of them at the sea of slow-moving carts and irritated people.
God,
she exhaled.
Is this ever going to end?
But it did, finally, as she was leading Argo up through the gates of Athens, where guards watched alertly, and two of them crossed in front of them, holding up a hand in officious arrogance. Gabrielle pushed her hood back and edged Iolus forward, more than ready to do the talking.
Yes?
Your business here.
The bard gazed at him.
What would you like my business to be here?
She asked, fishing out her pockets full of seals.
I can be the visiting queen of the Amazons, the chief arbiter of Amphipolis, or a traveling bard whose scrolls are being archived in the academy. Pick one.
The soldier blinked at her, then his eyes went to the silent, dark figure at her side.
That's Xena,
Gabrielle stated simply. The guard captain walked over.
Xena of Amphipolis?
He sounded mildly surprised.
That's me,
Xena agreed, gazing at him with quiet impassiveness, her hands resting on her saddle bow. The two men backed up and got out of their way in a very satisfying manner. Gabrielle counted her blessings and moved through the gates, glad when the guard's attention was turned to a large, noisy wagon rolling in behind them.
Okay, now where?
She glanced around. The city was
loud.
Noise assailed her ears from all sides, and the street seemed overly full of people and animals. Buildings rose to either side, stretching off in the distance. They passed a square, filled with marker stalls and the sounds and smells that came with that, almost overwhelming Gabrielle with a pungency.
Whoa!
She rubbed her nose.
I don't think I'm used to this.
Xena leaned forward, taking weight onto her shoulders for a moment.
Too crowded. We'll probably need to go downhill.
She indicated the lower section of town, with its shabbier buildings and narrower streets. Gabrielle scowled a little.
They should put you in the best room in that stupid palace up there,
she stated.
Xena's eyes closed. I'd settle for a hay bale right now,
she admitted.
Whatever you can get, Gabrielle. It doesn't matter.
Down the hill it was then, as they got through the bustling crowd, busy about the market despite the rain. Even the more obscure inns, Gabrielle discovered, were full to the rafters for the games, and it was only sheer luck and the fact that she found a woman with a soft spot for cute, desperate young blonde girls that got them any space at all. The inn was a very old one, its walls well patched and shabby. Gabrielle dismounted and stretched her back out, then captured Argo's bridle as they came to halt in the tiny yard outside the even tinier stable. She watched Xena glance down at her hands for a few moments, visibly gathering herself. Then she slid her legs out of the stirrups and swung her body down off of Argo's back, landing with a weight on her good leg. A grubby-looking boy came out and looked at them curiously.
"Do you work here?"
Gabrielle asked, one hand resting on Xena's back, as the warrior simply stood there, hanging onto Argo's saddle.
"We've got two horses here who really need to be cleaned and fed."
The boy nodded and came to take the reins of the two animals. Gabrielle detached both of their saddlebags and slung them over her shoulders, then turned, offering Xena her staff.
"Want to use this?"
A short nod. Gabrielle led the way inside, one arm wrapped around her partner's waist, and they found the dusty, moth-eaten room, thankfully on the ground floor. She kicked the door shut behind them as she felt Xena start to collapse, and then got her shoulder under the warrior's and helped her over to one of the two small pallets.
"Here, sit down."
She eased her partner down onto the pallet, then very gently pushed her onto her back and carefully lifted the injured leg up onto the bed's surface. Xena wasn't resisting at all, and Gabrielle felt herself getting a little nervous, knowing the only time Xena accepted this kind of manhandling, or bard handling as it were, without question, was when she was very sick or badly injured.
"Easy, tiger," she murmured. "Just relax, and let me get this wet stuff off you."
It felt incredibly good just to be lying down flat. Xena felt an uncomfortable buzzing in her ears, and it felt much better just to close her eyes and let Gabrielle do whatever she wanted. She trusted the bard completely, of course, and besides, she could feel her wet, muddy clothing being stripped off her body, trading damp clamminess for a dusty warmth as the air in the room brushed against her bare skin. Gabrielle managed to get Xena's heavy cloak off, then worked quickly to remove her metal armor and the leather bracers that protect her upper and forearms. Then she knelt and untied the laces on her boot and slid them off, trying not to look at the horror of the injury, now shockingly evident against her partner's skin. She took a piece of linen from her pack and dried the rain off of Xena's skin, watching the chest still inside the heavy leathers move steadily under her touch.
"Okay, tiger."
She picked up one slack hand and kissed the back of it. "You need to tell me what to do now. Should I go get a healer? I don't think I'm very qualified to mess with this sea."
The dark head rolled towards her. The pain-racked, weary, bloodshot blue eyes appeared. "I know it hurts."
Gabrielle stroked her cheek with gentle fingers.
"Do you want me to get you a healer?"
Xena gazed at her in silence for a few moments, then shook her head.
"No," the warrior said. "Won't get one easily with this crowd. Need to get this taken care of before it gets bad."
She lifted her body up a little and propped herself on one elbow.
"Get water. My kit."
A pause.
"You'll need to get some sticks. Bandages."
Gabrielle got Xena's kit and put it in her hand,
then took their largest water skin and went out of the room and into the main area of the inn, searching for water. The patrons glanced at her muddy visage and then looked away uninterested, which was more than fine with Gabrielle. She found the well just outside the door and sniffed a dipper, pouring the water into the palm of her hand and tasting it cautiously. Yeah, it was Athens, but it never paid to take chances. The water tasted all right, so she filled the big skin with it and made her way back into her room. Inside, she stripped off her cloak and left it in the sodden heap. Then she ran her hand through her wet hair to get it out of her eyes and crossed to where Zeno was waiting.
Okay.
She studied the still, quiet figure on the pallet and knelt, putting her hand on the warrior's blood and mud-stained ankle. With an effort, Zeno rolled down to her side so that the uninjured knee extended over the edge of the pallet.
Wash it out good,
she said calmly, curling her hands around the edge of the bed.
Especially where's that bone sticking out?
She knew it was going to hurt. She set her jaw firmly as Gabrielle uncapped the water skin, and did as she asked, the cold water hitting her skin and entering the wound with a shock of pain so intense it almost broke her.
Breathe.
Zeno concentrated on not passing out.
Make sure all the dirt's out,
she managed to say.
It's really important.
I know,
Gabrielle answered softly.
I will, Zeno.
It was like someone was driving a dagger into her again and again and again. Zeno just held on to the bed and felt her muscles contract in agony. Iron will, however, kept her jaw clamped shut and her face impassive as she waited out the long and excruciating process. She felt an odd touch of warmth against the chill water, and she forced her eyes open, worried that she started bleeding again, only to find warm tears falling instead. As Gabrielle's slightly shaking hands finished their work, the bard sniffled a little and let out a breath, then turned ahead, and their eyes met.
Sorry,
Gabrielle whispered.
It's all right.
Zeno could hear the strain in her voice and knew the bard could too.
Now comes the hard part.
A breath.
I don't think I...
You can.
Zeno steeled herself and slowly straightened her injured leg, enduring the incredible pain that scraped along every bone in her body and made her want to scream.
Put the bone back in place.
She held Gabrielle's eyes, knowing there were tears in her own. It was part of her kneecap, cracked and protruding from the gash in her skin.
Go on, sweetheart. It's all right.
Gabrielle forced herself to focus on the injury, pretending as hard as she could that the leg in front of her wasn't Zena's, pretending she couldn't feel what Zeno was feeling this close to her. Finally, she just took a deep breath and did it, fitting her fingers around the slippery, hard surface and acting on pure instinct, set it into place beneath the ragged skin that was seeping blood all over her hands. She could feel the faintest click when it fit. Then she looked up, feeling her heart almost rip in two at the expression on her soulmate's face.
It's done.
Zeno collapsed back onto the pallet, her eyes shut tight and her hands clenching and unclenching in helpless reaction. Gabrielle dropped what she had in her hand and reached for her, a tiny whimper emerging from her throat as she grabbed the warrior's shoulders and pulled her close, hugging her in an attempt at comfort. It took a long time before the pain subsided enough for Zeno to breathe normally, and she lay cradled in Gabrielle's arms, her eyes closed as her heartbeat settled down, and she started the weird process of dealing with that level of damage to her body. It had been a while, more than a year since she really had more than a scratch, and she'd gotten into a habit of not dealing with pain like this. Her cheek was nestled against Gabrielle's stomach, and she could feel the still uneven jerkiness of the barge breathing as her hands gently stroked Zena's hair.
Thanks,
she murmured.
God, Zeno.
The bard sniffled, hugging a little closer.
It's okay,
the warrior said.
Just put some herbs on it. Cover it. Take care of the rest later.
All right.
Gabrielle sounded very, very glad of that.
Okay, I can do that. What else?
Zeno felt the pain rolling over her and knew she had to surrender to it, at least for a while. She tangled her fingers in Gabrielle's skirt and nuzzled her a little.
Be here.
Don't you worry about that.
Gabrielle's voice filled her.
I'll be here.
Zeno nodded a little and then relaxed, slumping into unconsciousness with only the tiniest of sighs. Gabriel sat there quietly for a few minutes, stroking Xena's hair with her shaking fingers. Then she eased the warrior down onto the pallet and sat down onto the wooden floor, resting her elbows on her knees and her head on a forearm. "When you're cut, I bleed." She almost started crying again, but there was too much to do, so she put that off until later, and lifted her head, thinking about what supplies she need and what to do next.
"Well," she glanced down at herself, "dry clothes probably would be a good idea."
With a sigh, she got up, wincing at the soreness in her legs, and crossed to their bags, removing a clean, dry tunic from hers and stripping out of her traveling gear. She sat down on the unevenly legged chair and pulled her boots off, tossing them over with Xena's for later cleaning. What else did Xena tell her to do? Oh, right. She dug into their gear and found the bundle of arrow shafts Xena had been working on. She took them and two long strips of cloth and went back to her soulmate's side, sitting down on the ground next to her and studying the ugly wound in her leg.
"I'm glad you're out, honey,"
she murmured, then very gently eased the warrior's leg straight. It wasn't easy. Xena had very muscular legs, and years of riding tended to turn them slightly outward. But Gabriel persevered, placing one of the arrow shafts on either side of the joint, and securing them with strips of cloth to keep the limb in place. Once she was satisfied, she then took more water and cleaned the wound again, making painfully sure she got out every speck of dirt she could see before she got out her needle and thin gut she learned to dislike and stitched the ragged skin over the shattered bone beneath it. Not all the way, though. Xena had taught her that last time. She left a small space open and dusted everything with the powdered herb from the warrior's kit. There. Gabriel felt better once that was done. She put the kit away. Then she studied Xena's pale face and noted the mud smudging her skin everywhere. She took the remaining water and some clean clothes and knelt beside the bed again, this time to clean as much of her partner as she could reach without moving her. She started by wiping around her face and ears, then unhooked her shoulder straps on Xena's leathers and rinsed the gray mud off of her collarbone.
"And you always yell at me for getting dirt behind my ears, huh?"
she murmured softly.
"Look at you, Xena, covered in gunk."
She loosened the laces that held the leathers closed, but knew she couldn't get them off without lifting Xena, or cutting them. So she wiped the long arms, then switched to a different piece of cloth to work on even longer legs, which were coated in gray dried muck. Xena would, Gabriel acknowledged, probably be upset for her for taking the time to do this. Cleaning the wound, yes, that was necessary. But Gabriel was sure her partner would have rather she made herself comfortable and got something to eat and relax instead of spending all this time on her knees, cleaning her off. Gabriel examined her handiwork. Serve her right for getting hurt. She decided, much happier with her now mostly clean and relatively comfortable-looking patient. She got to her feet and put the soiled clothes by the other wet stuff. Now, she just had to start a fire in the small fire pit, boil some water for infusions, and... Gabriel grabbed for the back of a chair as a wave of dizziness swept over her unexpectedly. She held on until the world stopped spinning, then sat down in the chair and reached for her bag.
"And eat something, you jerk."
She rummaged out one of their trail bars and bit into it, resting her head on his hand, propped against her knee as she chewed. Ever since she'd been pregnant with Dory, she'd been more prone to these spells, usually held at bay by her regular meals and schedule. Today had been anything but regular, though, and she should have expected this. She swallowed and glanced at the still figure on the pallet.
"Xena would have reminded me," she realized wryly. "She always remembers."
Almost as though she heard the thought, Xena stirred, her eyes fluttering open and blinking in confusion. Gabriel scrambled over to the pallet and put a hand on her arm, quickly.
"Easy, tiger."
"Ugh." The warrior lifted a hand to her head and rubbed her eyes. "Damn. Did I pass out?"
"Yeah."
Gabriel rubbed the edge of her thumb over Xena's skin.
"I'm sort of glad."
Pale blue eyes flicked to her face, then down the length of the bed, studying the splint. "Ah." Xena put her head back down and exhaled. "Good work."
"Feel any better?"
Xena hesitated.
"Come on, sweetheart. You don't need to do the warrior princess routine with me, remember?"
Gabriel gently moved a bit of dark hair out of Xena's eyes.
"I'm going to make some soup for us now. How does that sound?"
"Not hungry," Xena uttered.
"Ah, ah, ah."
Gabriel leaned on her elbows.
Would you let me get away with that?
Xena's lips twitched a little. Gabriel leaned over and kissed her on the shoulder.
I love you,
she stated simply.
You know how much I hate when you're hurting.
A hand traveled up and captured hers, and their fingers twined. Yeah, I know, the warrior told her. I'd love some soup. With an amused twinkle, Gabriel brushed her lips across the fingers clasping hers, and got up to retrieve her cooking things, aware of the eyes following her. Xena shifted a little, then slumped back onto the pallet, Ten and Livy taking stock of her condition. The pain, thank the gods, had subsided from truly horrific to something she could almost bear. There was a sharp ache in the joint itself, and trails of pain extended up and down her leg, but she realized that part of it was from the stitching Gabrielle had done, and the swelling constrained in the splint. She lifted her head and studied it again, then cocked her head as she gazed down at her own bootless feet. You cleaned me up.
Mm-hmm.
Gabrielle was busy at the fire. You didn't have to do that, Gabrielle.
Uh-huh.
Xena rolled her head to one side to watch DeBard. Did you get something to eat? The smile was very evident.
Yes.
Before or after it was too late? Gabrielle turned and looked over her shoulder with a wry grin on her face.
It was a long day.
Uh-huh.
I had a lot on my mind. You, for instance.
Uh-huh. The bard stuck her tongue out, then turned back to her task. Xena closed her eyes, wishing at least the pounding headache she had would ease. She tried to keep her mind off of it by figuring out how their plan had changed now, tossing in this unexpected complication. Well, she considered, this really needed a good talker, and Gabrielle was better than she was at this anyway. Maybe the bard could handle this without her, and they could just hang around Athens until a damn leg healed enough to travel. And how long was that going to take? Xena tried flexing her leg muscles, and immediately regretted it. Damn! What the Hades did I think I was doing anyway? Mucking around like that. My damn mind is slipping along with everything else. A hand cupped her cheek, and Xena opened her eyes. That was fast. Gabrielle sat on the edge of the pallet and swirled the cup she held in her hand.
Soup's not ready yet, but I think you're ready for some help.
Gabrielle, I'm not a child. Xena frowned. I can handle this.
I can't.
The bard looked right into her eye.
And you're making my guts ache. Xena, please.
She held out the cup, then got an arm around Xena to help her sit up when she took it. Gabrielle let her chin rest on the warrior's shoulder as she drank the drop down, waiting for her to finish. There. Xena handed her back the cup and eased back down on this pallet. Satisfied? Gabriel laid the back of her hand against the warrior's cheek, gazing at her compassionately. After a moment, Xena's eyes flicked up to hers. Sorry.
And here I thought I'd have at least one day before you started going nuts.
Gabriel replied with a smile to take the edge off the words. She got a grudging smile back. Getting impatient in my old age, Xena said. The bard leaned over and kissed her on the nose.
Xena.
She gazed into her eyes.
You were impatient as a toddler.
She got up and went to stir the soup, which was sending wisps of nice-smelling steam into the air. A ladle portion summoned to a bowl, and she took a spoon with her as she returned to the pallet, to find her recalcitrant patient attempting to sit up.
Xena!
Pouring soup over my head isn't very effective. The warrior gritted her teeth. Gotta sit up.
Stubborn. God help me if Dorian heard it this full measure.
Gabrielle put the bowl down on the floor. Then she slid in behind her suffering partner and settled back against the wall, pulling the warrior back down to rest against her.
Come here.
Gabrielle! Xena protested, but between the pain and the herbs, it was just too much. She gave in and allowed the bard to cradle her, then relaxed as she realized just how much better that made her feel. She wasn't sure whether it was just the angle or the warmth of Gabrielle's body, or... She let her head rest against Gabrielle's chest and accepted a spoonful of soup. Why am I fighting this? The question occurred to her as she swallowed the soup and felt the herbs start to kick in and take the edge off the pain. Gabrielle?
Hmm?
The bard's soft response was almost right in her ear. Thanks.
For what?
Gabriel offered her another spoonful, and Zelia really had no answer for that. Thanking her partner for caring about her seemed so obvious. Of course, Gabriel cared about her, and if their positions were reversed, she'd be doing exactly what the bard was doing. So what was her problem, exactly? Zena swallowed another tasty mouthful. Just as a matter of her pride, that was all. She acknowledged wryly exactly where the damn horse had kicked her. A wave of sleepiness hit her. The pain was fading fast now, as the world seemed to get further away. She was vaguely aware of Gabriel shifting, and the sound of the bowl being put on the floor. Past that, she could hear the thunder of rain on the roof, a soothing sound now that they were inside, and dry, her eyes closed.
"Guess I'll worry about that damn pride thing later,"
she muzzily considered, feeling her body succumb to the herbs and relax completely. Gabriel waited until she sensed Zena's breathing deepen and even out. Then she settled herself more comfortably, letting her cheek rest against Zena's hair. It was very dark when Gabriel opened her eyes back up and blinked, a little disoriented at first. Gradually, her vision adjusted, and she shifted a little, turning head to look out the small window. It was still raining. She could see the sheets of water falling past, and a roll of thunder shivered the floor briefly. The fire was burning low in the fire pit, giving off a hint of smoky comfort in the room and a pinch of light for her to see by. Zena was sound asleep, slumped against her, and she could feel the slow, even breathing that indicated she was likely to stay that way. Good. Gabriel felt a sense of relief. Even the strongest herbs wouldn't have kept her asleep if the pain had been bad enough, and the bard was hoping to give her partner's body a chance to start healing. It wasn't exactly comfortable for her, of course. Zena was a good deal larger and hairier than she was, and she suspected her legs would be painfully asleep before morning. But that was okay. Gabriel pulled the dark head a little closer and kissed it, feeling the slightest hitch as Zena's breathing caught, then went on.
"Did you feel that, honey?"
she whispered.
"Can you feel how much I love you, even when you're sleeping so deep?"
The warrior moved a little, then reached out instinctively, curling a hand around the arm Gabriel had clasped around her.
"You can, can't you?"
the bard murmured, charmed, remembering a time much earlier in their partnership when things had been so different. It had been the first time, really, that she'd been consciously aware of herself as growing up, growing past the little kid stage where she was willing to accept Zena's lead in everything, and she started to question the warrior insistently, wanting to share in the choices the older women made for them. It had all started with a fork in the road, and they'd been arguing over the path Zena had chosen for 2 days. She noticed that the warrior seemed to be getting shorter and shorter-tempered, but by the time Gabriel had traveled with her long enough to have lost her fear of that, and she just pressed her point until Zena had simply stopped responding at all, which, of course, had been even more aggravating. They stopped in a sandy dell, surrounded by pine trees. By a tiny spring they gave her enough water to put a pot of soup and wash the grime off her face, while she marshaled her arguments for the next attempt. She decided on a plan, then stood up and brushed her hands off, looking around for a target. Zena had seated herself against a tree a little ways off, and then made her frown, thinking the warrior was really trying to avoid her this time. Had she gone too far? Gabriel had wrestled with her conscience for a few moments, then decided she wasn't going to let Zena win this round.
"Okay," she held up her hands. "Now look, I realize you've got a lot more experience than I do, Zena, but we've been at this for a couple of years now, and it's not like I'm still this wet behind the ears kid anymore, okay?"
No response. There had just been a cool, remote look on the warrior's face, and that ticked her off even further. She started to walk towards her.
"Zena, do you even listen to me anymore? Do you have any idea what I'm saying to you? Do you care?"
Nothing. Several body lengths away, Gabrielle had just had it. She stopped and put her hands on her hips and glared.
"Zena!"
That, at least, had gotten a response, as paled eyes tracked to her face.
"You want to just tell me what little infraction of the Warrior Princess Code I broke this time, so I can write it down?"
"Gabrielle,"
Zena had finally answered in a hesitant, slightly husky tone.
"Please stop yelling at me,"
she asked the stunned bard.
"My head hurts."
Gabriel never remembered crossing those last few steps and dropping to her knees amongst pine needles. She put a hand out and touched Xena's forehead, only that close seeing the glazed look in her eyes and the gray pallor under the outdoor tan.
"God, Xena," she whispered. "You're burning up. Why didn't you say something?"
"I don't get sick." Gabriel had gently pushed the dark hair back off her forehead, meeting no resistance to her touch, and realized just how long this had probably been going on. But she'd been too busy arguing to notice. For a moment, Gabriel had only looked down at the sand. Then she exhaled and gave Xena's arm a squeeze.
"Wait here. I'll be right back."
She gotten Xena's cloak from her pack and shook it open, then walked back over and tucked it around the already shivering woman with careful hands.
"Is there something I can get you? Some herbs that you can take to make you feel better, Xena?"
She'd gotten a completely unexpected answer.
"Feel a whole lot better if you're under here with me,"
Xena had murmured, her eyes fluttering closed. Gabriel had frozen absolutely still for a long moment, just staring at her. Unable to believe what she heard, it was a fever talking. She immediately dismissed the thought. Xena had no idea what she was saying.
"Right?"
Cautiously, she put her hand out and touched Xena's face, as though she were checking for a fever. I felt the warrior lean into the touch and sigh.
"Dear God."
Gabriel's head sat back a little, trying to figure out what to do. She realized a few things in the last few minutes, one of the most important of which was she was making the decisions at the moment, and Xena was trusting her to do the right things. The other most important thing was that Xena might have just entrusted something she hadn't really intended to the bard, with her normal emotional barriers down like they were. So Gabriel had two choices, really. Pretend she hadn't heard, or remember she had. With a quiet sense of unreality, she'd gotten up and gone to the campfire, spreading out their bedrolls together. Then she went back to the tree and gently helped Xena stand up and walk back over. She'd sat down and settled Xena against her and put hesitant arms around her, feeling a quiet thrill as the warrior not only accepted her touch, but nestled closer, seeking comfort in a way Gabriel had never, ever expected to see, much less have the opportunity to respond to.
"It's okay,"
she murmured softly to her sick friend.
"I've got you, Xena. I'll take care of you, I promise."
She felt the warmth of Xena's breath as she exhaled and tucked the edge of her cloak more closely around her shivering shoulders. They stayed like that for a while until she felt the chill stop and Xena seemed to fall asleep in her arms. Gabrielle allowed herself a few simple moments of wistful, sweet peace as she stroked the dark hair spilling over her chest. Xena's head was nestled against her shoulder, so close she could, if she wanted, lay her cheek down on it. Would she ever have this chance again? Gabriel slowly lowered her head and felt the silky texture of Xena's hair against her skin. She let out a held breath, very slowly, and closed her eyes.
"I'm sorry I yelled at you, Xena,"
the bard murmured.
"I don't know why we always do that. Fight all the time, I mean."
She stayed quiet for a few moments.
"You were saying yesterday the reason you don't listen to me all the time is because I don't think about things enough. I don't say enough about what's going on to make the right choices."
A sigh.
"Well, I guess you were right, weren't you? I was so busy fighting with you over that, I didn't even notice you were sick."
Xena had started shivering again, and Gabriel had hugged her closer, giving her whatever warmth she could.
"You're not going to remember any of this, are you?"
the bard said.
"That's really too bad, Xena. It would make me feel good to know you knew you could count on me."
She managed a tiny smile.
"And that I'm not really a little kid anymore."
Held in her fever, Xena let out an almost sub-vocal moan and several words, which Gabriel could not decipher.
"I know," she sighed. "You're probably saying, shut up, Gabriel, right?"
Gabriel put her head back down against her friend's.
"Well, at least you'll know that someone cares. That I care about you."
Pause.
"A lot."
Another pause.
"Even if we fight all the time. Don't forget that, Xena. Okay?"
An owl hooted overhead and the fire crackled, sending a spark up towards the stars.
I do care.
Gabrielle had repeating, letting herself feel the intensity of the emotion Xena had been stirring in her lately, nameless and powerful. At least, it had been nameless. Gabrielle gazed in the flames, her thoughts wrapped in her poetry she knew she'd never write.
I love you.
She whispered, very, very soft, into all that night silence. Fingers curling around her sent a jolt all the way through her, and she lifted her head to peer at Xena. Her eyes were closed, her breathing hoarse, but even, she seemed deeply asleep. And yet, Gabrielle's eyes went to her hand, now enveloped in Xena's, and pulled close to Xena's heart. Had she heard? It was a moment of timeless magic, even if it were only one ever, she owned it. Gabrielle put her head back against the wall, letting the sound of the rain outside lull her back into a drowsy state. She was really glad they were inside. That was for sure. Around her, she could hear the soft creaks of the building, and realized it was very late by the absence of other sound, such as talking or clinking of serving from the hall. She closed her eyes. Sounds got louder as other senses compensated, and she found herself listening to one particular set of creaks. Just like the other, except these were softer, more persistent. Coming towards them. Gabrielle cocked her head and concentrated. Was she imagining it? The noises stopped and she held her breath, waiting. Then she heard a very soft scuffling sound, just outside the door, and was in a dilemma. Should she wake Xena up, or just slip out and handle this? She could probably just handle about anything that was creeping outside her door this late at night in an inn in Athens. But a pressure on her wrist interrupted her thoughts as she leaned forward a little.
See?
She uttered in a bare whisper.
I hear it.
The soft burring answer came back.
Thief, maybe. He's listening, deciding whether or not to come in.
Gabrielle cast a wry look at the ceiling.
What color are his boots?
She murmured to the warrior's ears. Xena's frame moved slightly under her arm as a chuckle silently shook her.
Let me go check it out.
Gabrielle carefully slid out from under Xena's body and settled her down on the pallet. Then she picked up her staff and, barefoot, walked in total silence to the door. It was, she later remembered, the oddest feeling, being the one to face danger, knowing Xena was watching her. She gripped her staff and paused next to the door, listening intently. Was that breathing? Gabrielle's brows creased. Another creak. She slipped to one side of the door and raised her staff, waiting, her eyes on the edge of the wood. Her body tensed, fingers curling around the leather wrappings, as she came over to her center of balance, ready for anything. She waited. Nothing happened. After a few moments, she tore her eyes from the door and glanced over her shoulder to where Xena was lying, the warrior's eyes just the barest glint in the firelight. She knew Xena could see her, though, so she shrugged in question. A soft grunt answered her. Gabrielle turned her head and exhaled, leaning closer to try and focus her hearing as she'd been taught. She thought she could still hear breathing outside, but the other noises had stopped completely. Then a soft scuff alerted her, and she stiffened, her jaw muscles clenching and her heart picking up in anticipation. Creaks now, moving away. The bard's brow creased again, but there was no denying it. The sounds got softer and softer, and eventually faded off into nothing. Gabrielle straightened up and curled a hand around her staff, feeling vaguely disappointed.
Well, Hades.
A soft chuckle came from the pallet. Gabrielle sighed and turned around, making her way back over to the other side of the room. She rummaged in their pack and removed two candles with their holders and lit them, then stirred a fire a little to provide a bit more light. She left one candle on the table and brought the other back with her to the pallet.
What was that all about, I wonder?
Xena pushed herself upright and was raking her fingers through her hair.
Ugh,
she sighed.
Probably decided on an easier target. This room's at the end of the corridor. Easy to get trapped.
Gabrielle gave the warrior's leather a tug.
If you sit up a little more, I can get these off you.
Got a better idea.
Xena slowly eased her injured leg off the pallet, then swiveled and got on a good leg under her. Gabrielle realized what her intent was and got her shoulder under her arm as she stood shakily up.
What? Hold on! Where the Hades do you think you're going?
Xena grasped the bard's staff and managed to remain upright as the pain of blood rushing down to her leg hit her.
Nowhere,
she gasped.
Just want you to throw the furs on that thing. Straw's driving me nuts.
The bard quickly did so, spreading not only Xena's but her own sleeping furs on the pallet. Then she tugged the laces free on Xena's armor and eased it up over her head, careful not to upset her balance. Hang on.
She grabbed the clean shift and got it over her partner's head, its soft folds releasing the familiar scent of home to both of them.
There.
She helped Xena sit back down on the pallet, the warrior's face dead white and her jaws rigidly set.
Okay. Lie down and... yeah.
She eased the splinted limb back up onto the bed and knelt down. Xena had her arm thrown over her eyes and her fingers were flexing. Gabby knew better than to distract her when she was attempting to get control over herself, so she just took the warrior's other hand in hers and held it, remembering an echo of earlier daydream and letting a faint smile come across her face. A moment later, she felt her arm move and looked up to see Xena pulling their joined hands upwards to rest gently against her chest right above her heart. Surprised, her eyes lifted and met weary blue ones looking back at her. Xena managed to smile.
I love you too.
A flash of lightning lit the room, sealing the scene in Gabrielle's mind's eye in silver and shadows, as a moment in her life beyond the words and full of the same magic. It would be a poem in it, tomorrow. The crowds were out early. Gabrielle slipped through them, glad to at least that the rain had stopped, at least for the moment. Gray clouds were still lurking moodily overhead, but the weather had cleared enough to bring everyone out from under crowded roofs. She paused in a crossroads, trying to stir her memories of being here years past. The city certainly changed, had grown and spread out to twice its size it had been on her last visit. It was also a lot more full of people, most of whom seemed to be there to enjoy the games and whatever other entertainment they could find themselves. That included drinking a lot. Even this early and looking for amorous adventures with the nearest good-looking or sometimes not-so-good-looking neighbor in the streets. Gabrielle evaded a couple of outstretched hands, though second looks in her direction tended to make the reaching fingers back off. Gabrielle only hoped it was her businesslike air and the Amazon war staff that caused the reaction. She ducked past a rolling delivery wagon and headed down a side street, following her ears towards the sound of the marketplace. She had a list of things she wanted to get. By the looks of things, it was good thing she got out early. Some of the herbs Xena had asked her for were on the rare side. She was hoping to get to the market stalls before either the weather or the crowd emptied them. The one bright spot of the morning had been a reassuring, healthy look of wound on Xena's leg. Though the swelling was still horrific, and the warrior was very still in obvious pain, there was no reddening of the skin around the break, and the edges where she'd stitched were closed and already starting to heal. Of course, there was a downside to that. Gabrielle exited the street she'd taken and arrived at the market square. The large space was full of traders' booths, and there were already a number of people browsing amongst them. Not too many, though, the bard was glad to see. She started down the first row. The downside to Xena's injury was that more quickly he started to heal, the faster the warrior wanted to have it be over and done with. The broken bone needed time to knit, but Gabrielle knew how restless her partner got when she was confined to bed rest, especially since they were in a strange place. At home, maybe, she'd have a chance to keep Xena still for a few days. In Athens, in a ratty old inn with nothing really to keep her attention occupied? Forget it. Gabrielle paused as she spotted an herbal stall and changed directions towards it. The wizened woman inside it studied her as she approached, her thin hands sorting amongst the herbs idly.
Good day to you, citizen,
she greeted Gabrielle politely.
Morning.
The bard replied with a smile.
I've got a list here.
She named off six herbs and got a raised eyebrow in return.
Do you have them?
The woman chewed her lip.
Are you a healer?
She asked.
Why?
Gabrielle asked, leaning on her staff.
Do you need to be to buy herbs here?
Most healers wouldn't buy from the market,
the woman explained.
So I wondered, not that I won't sell to you, my dear, but if it's your fortune you're looking to make here, best not be seen buying in the common stalls.
Gabrielle laughed in pure reflex, the sound drawing curious looks from the stall's neighbors.
Gods, no, she shook her head. That's the least of my worries.
She dickered with the woman for a few moments, then paid her dinars and tucked the precious herbs into her carrier bag with a sense of relief. There, now her most important errand was done. She could relax a little and maybe find some fresh fruit and something to keep her soulmate busy for a day or two.
A hand touched arm, and Gabrielle whirled, her staff shifting automatically into a defensive position. She found herself looking at a young man with curly brown hair and a snub nose, who was studying her with puzzled, fascinated eyes. Something about him struck a chord of her memory, and she studied him in return for a long moment.
"Gabrielle?"
he hazarded.
Is you, isn't it?"
A moment of blankness. Then she exhaled.
"Euripides?"
he smiled.
"Yes."
One of the young friends she'd made during her very brief stay at the academy, who had struggled with her through the bard's competition. Euripides had stayed on after she left to learn the bard's trade.
"Wow, it's been a long time," she murmured.
He was dressed in thick, very good quality white toga with golden braids, and he'd grown a little over the years.
"It sure has,"
he agreed softly.
"I almost didn't recognize you, but I'm glad I did, because we were all talking about you the other day, and we wondered."
Gabrielle gently pulled him out of the flow of traffic as a cart almost ran them over without regard.
"I wondered a lot about you guys, too. I was going to drop by the academy while I was here, see if any of you were still around. I guess so, huh?"
"We're still here."
Euripides seemed fascinated by her, his eyes studying her over and over again.
"I can't believe you're here. You've changed so much."
Gabrielle felt a little self-conscious.
"Have I?"
she shrugged lightly.
"Well, it's been a while. You look pretty different yourself."
Euripides abruptly realized he was making her uncomfortable.
"Gods, I'm sorry, Gabrielle. You must think me a complete bore for standing here staring at me like a rank Neo."
He glanced down the row.
"Can I buy you a cup of wine? I'd love to hear what you've been doing. I mean..."
He laughed a little.
"We all know what you've been doing. With your scrolls and all, but..."
Gabrielle hesitated, then recalled their second mission in the city, and judged she could spare a few moments to catch up and maybe get some information. Euripides at least seemed to know what was going on in the city.
"Sure."
She shifted her staff in her other hand and joined him as they walked down the narrow way.
"City sure looks different."
"Oh, yeah,"
her old friend replied.
"It's growing like anything. We've got so much new buildings going on, the new theater and all that."
He looked pensively at the ground, unaware of the sharp green eyes studying his profile.
"It's great."
"It's strange to come back here after all this time," the bard commented. "I remember how I felt coming here way back when, and how incredible it all was."
She paused, seeing something in a stall.
"Hold on a minute. I need those."
She crossed the path and entered a small tent. Its roof, a glorious patchwork of very old cloth its owner apparently had ever come across. Scattered over the uneven old wooden table were eclectic piles of carved items in varying shades of wood. Gabrielle picked up three intricately interlocked puzzle balls and gave the man behind the table a look.
"How much?"
"Ah, them's just the things for the little ones, eh?"
The man cackled and rubbed his hands together.
"Keep him busy around the clock, those will."
Gabrielle held back a grin.
"Oh, I hope so,"
she agreed. Euripides stepped closer.
You've got kids?"
He sounded a little surprised. Gabrielle paid the vendor for his puzzles and tucked them in her bag before she took her friend's arm and led him back out to the path.
"I have a daughter. Her name is Joriana."
"Oh."
He ran a hand through his own brown curls.
"So, who's the lucky guy?"
The bard's eyes twinkled.
"Xena."
She kept walking. He didn't. Gabrielle continued along the row, knowing he'd eventually catch up to her. She got all the way to the first fruit and vegetable stall before he finally did, slowing a pace and approaching her uncertainly as she browsed amongst the summer melons.
Gabrielle, I don't, I'm kind of trying to..."
"Don't,"
Gabrielle replied, selecting some gorgeous pears.
"Come on, help me carry these and I'll try to explain."
They moved off to the next cluster. The sound of a goat's bell came clearly in the window, along with the humid breeze that stirred the dark hair in Xena's head, as she lay quietly on the room's pallet. Her eyes were closed, but she wasn't sleeping. The pain had taken to coming and going, and it was in its coming phase, the ache building to a sharp lancing that traveled up her leg and into her groin. She took a deep breath, trying to will it away, suspecting that the swelling around the joint was what was causing her the most agony.
"Ow!"
Xena muttered.
Stupid son of a Buckeye.
After a few moments of crescendo, the pain started to lessen, and she let her eyes open, gazing listlessly across the room, indulging in a childish wish that Gabriel would get back and at least help her take the mind off the damn thing. An idea struck her then, and she eyed her saddlebags across the room. Weighing the effort she knew it would take to get to them against the mind-numbing boredom she was suffering under, even though the Bard had only been gone less than 2 candle marks, she decided it was worth it, and slowly eased her leg off the pallet, letting it rest on the floor while she swung herself upright and got a good leg under her. Getting up was a little tough, but she managed it, using her innate sense of balance to shift her weight. Carefully she planned her route, reaching out for the first to the chair Gabrielle had left nearby and using it to steady her progress as she hopped over to the back. Gods, it hurt. Xena felt her aggravation rising, but she had the bag now, and she turned slowly and started to make her way back to the pallet. She found herself sweating bullets as she reached it, dropping down onto the narrow surface and leaning back against the wall for a moment to let the waves of pain fade. Damn it. She gazed in disgust at her leg. Of all the stupid, idiotic ways to get hurt. Xena plucked at the sturdy bandage holding the splint in place. Been a long time since she'd broken anything like this, and she'd forgotten just how much it had handicapped her. Pain wasn't something that generally bothered Xena, so she was used to it. After a lifetime of fighting, she had her share, and more than her share of injuries of all types. Cuts, bruises, the odd cracked rib here and there, arrows in the gut. She'd seen it all, and carried on doing what she had to do, despite dripping blood over everything. It was one thing to ignore the pain of a 4-inch gash in her side, but an injury like this, where the limb would not bear her weight, was something else, and she knew until the swelling went down and the joint started to heal, walking was going to be a problem. So, Xena folded her arms over her stomach. She needed a crutch. For a crutch, she'd need sticks. For sticks... Her eyes wandered over the room to where the window let in gray light. Ah. Outside the window was an olive tree. She dug their wood axe from her pack and hauled herself up again, hopping over to the window and almost crashing headlong into the wall. The sill was at her shoulder level, and she put the axe on the sill before she curled her hands around the wood and pulled herself up, laying on the sill on her belly and peering out at the tree. She studied the branches with a critical eye, then reached down and grabbed one, picking up the axe with the other hand, after lopping the thick gut cord she tied to its haft around her wrist. Trusting her balance, she swung the axe, chopping through the springy wood with the muscular power of her upper body without the benefit of leverage. The branch suddenly cracked, and she tensed, shifting her body weight back and pulling the branch back with her. Another cut, and it was free. She jerked it inside and dropped it, then scanned the tree for her next victim. The best choice was just out of her grasp, though, and she frowned at it for a moment. Then she loosened her grasp on the axe and swung it around her wrist, leaning forward and aiming carefully. The axe whirled over the branch and fell on the other side of it. She drew it back and caught its edge on the wood, pulling the branch back towards her. She grabbed it with her other hand and, with a smirk, set about chopping its base. This one broke unexpectedly under the strain, and Xena had to slam her good knee up against the wall under the window sill to keep herself from toppling out. But she succeeded in keeping her balance and pulled herself back into the room, lowering herself gently to the ground with her prize. Her body was not happy with her. The throbbing in her bad knee was now sending intense jolts of pain straight up her spine, and her ribs hurt from the contact with the sill. Ignoring this, Xena grabbed the other branch and hopped back onto the bed, collapsing on it with heartfelt groans she'd never have let pass her lips had anyone else been present, not even Gabrielle. Xena eased back against the wall and got her leg propped up, wincing at the now seeping blood rolling down the gap the Bard had left. She took a piece of linen from her kit and held it over the gash. Then she picked up the cup of herbs Gabrielle had left at her bedside and swirled them around before she put it on her lips and took the healthy swallow. They left a bitter taste in her back of her mouth, but she welcomed the taste, willing the painkillers to start working on her mostly empty stomach. She closed her eyes and waited, breathing slowly and evenly, until the waves of agony began to subside. She put the cup down and shifted, standing as comfortable as she could, then resolutely pushed the rest of the pain out of her mind and started working on her branches. The scent of bruised leaves filled their small room as she trimmed the wood carefully,
littering herself and the pallet with small branches, leaves, and curls of bark. When Zena was done, she had two long branches of even length. She studied them intently, then laid the edge of both on the edge of the pallet and chopped at them with pinpoint accuracy, shaping the bottoms into slanted points. After she had them how she wanted, she fitted the ends to each other and lashed them together in a piece of tough gut from her armor repair kit. Then she had to stop and rub her eyes, as the herbs took a stronger hold on her, putting a hazy layer between her and the room. She let the jointed sticks rest across her hips and finished in her saddlebag, finding a pear and a piece of dried venison inside. She set the pear on her stomach and chewed the venison, her eyes half closed as if listening idly to the sounds outside. She heard angry voices and the sound of a door slamming, then a series of loud whacks as though a filled sack being hit, then a child's scream. Zena's eyes popped wide open, and she was on her feet before she had time to think about it, heading for the window in a series of powerful hops. She grabbed the sill again and hauled herself up, her head snapping one way, then the other, as she searched for the source of noises. A wagon stood outside, with two muddy mules hitched to it. The back was loaded high with anonymous boxes, and as she watched, a man came around from the back of it, dragging a young boy by the arm. The boy was crying, and even from where she was, Zena could see a red welt on the side of his face from being struck. The man threw the boy up into the front of the wagon, then grabbed the lead mule's cheek piece and cuffed the animal in the face, causing it to start and plunge ahead, pulling the wagon after it. The warrior's eyes narrowed and her jaw clenched, but she faced reality and realized that now that the scene was over, there wasn't much she could do about it. Then she paused and her sense of humor lifted its head. "Oh, and what were you going to do before that, Zena? Jump out in the window and fall on the bastard?" She slid back down inside the room and hopped back to the bed. At least the excitement had offset the sounds of the herbs, she reasoned, as she sat back down and picked up her crutch, raiding her supply of arrow shafts to finish it. She whittled out notches in the two sides and fit three bowed shafts into them to form a place for her hand, and then she lashed another three across the top to support her under her arm. When she finished, she regarded handiwork critically. "Well, it's crude, but it'll work." Zena finished off the crutch by wrapping the top in a bit of leather and attaching a piece of old copper plate from an arbor over the tip so it wouldn't splinter, securing it with a few of Argo's extra nails tapped in the back of her axe. Then she sat back and glanced around the room. "Now what?" Her eyes fell on her pear, which had rolled off her and bumped against the far wall. With a grunt, she hauled herself up once again and fitted a crutch on her arm, easing weight onto it as she tried a step. It was awkward, but she judged right and made the support tall enough to keep her injured leg off the floor as she hobbled carefully across the room to retrieve her errant fruit. She made her way back and bit into the pear, holding it in her teeth while she shook out the top sleeping fur, sending leaves and twigs scattering all over the floor. Then she laid down and relaxed, glad the herbs had the pain under control and she'd done something useful worth a morning. She dug in her bag again, and this time fished out a small, leather-bound volume, opening it to a page at random, and studying the words inside it. The sun felt very warm on Gabrielle's back, and she briefly wished she could foregone her sedate, rust-colored, knee-length tunic for her Amazon-style garb. She and Euripides were seated just off the plaza in a small courtyard, nibbling on a tray of fruit and cheese, and sharing a flagon of chilled wine.
"I know it seems pretty strange," Gabrielle sipped her wine. "But it's true. We really have settled down in Amphipolis. That's why I'm here, to talk to the council about our taxes."
Euripides fiddled with a grape. "But what about your stories?"
He glanced at her, then away.
"I thought you told us that's where your destiny was, out there in the road, doing things, helping people."
It stung a little. "We still help people," Gabrielle retorted.
"What do you call defeating Andreas and his army?
We certainly saved your Athenian butts."
Her old friend looked abashed.
"Oh, you know what I mean, Gabrielle."
His tone was conciliatory.
"After all, you were the one who said all this stuff. So what happened?"
"What happened?" Gabrielle sighed. "What didn't happen?"
Her lips tensed into a slight smile.
"I grew up, for one thing."
She lifted her eyes to meet his.
"And I learned a lot of hard lessons."
He blinked.
"I'm not the kid who faked her way into the academy anymore,"
Gabriel went on.
I haven't been for a while, but I still have a lot of stories left to tell, Euripides.
She paused, eyeing him with quiet speculation.
What about you?
Me?
Gabriel nodded.
What have you been doing? What's going on at the academy? You know, that kind of thing? How's everyone else?
Oh.
Unaccountably, he looked at his hands.
Well, things are great, you know,
he said.
We've all done pretty good, getting our stories read at the theater, and hey, one of mine's being done as a play.
The bard smiled. Congratulations.
Yeah,
Euripides murmured.
Then, of course, there's the big competition. But you know about all that, I guess. Matter of fact, I sort of thought maybe you'd come to Athens to join in.
Gabriel's pale head inclined towards him.
Competition? No, I hadn't heard about it. What's it for?
Well, for everything. Whoever wins will be the great bard of Athens. They'll get to administer the new theater, get the council stipend, you know, the works.
He leaned forward.
They're set for life. The council decide to have the competition during the games. That way they're guaranteed the best audience.
Uh-huh.
Gabriel bit into a slice of pear thoughtfully.
Competition must be pretty fierce.
Oh, yeah.
Her friend looked vaguely unhappy.
It kind of puts us all against each other. I mean, I know that's natural, but we'd...
He searched her face.
It's been a long time since we all stuck together for you, that's for sure.
I guess we've all changed then,
Gabriel said, watching his face thoughtfully.
How's Homer doing?
Euripides frowned immediately.
He finally gave up.
He shook his head.
Picked up his scrolls and left. A few 7 days ago. Can't say I blame as much.
Could it be really that simple?
Wow.
A scuff step made them both look up, only to find a pair of shapely hands appear on the table, attached to a beautiful woman now leaning over them.
Well, well. Euro, who's your friend?
The woman asked, in a low, throaty voice. She was tall and had intricately braided chestnut hair that framed an oval face with deepest, darkest brown eyes. Gabriel noted several things at once. One, the woman's presence made her old friend tense and wary. Two, that he was afraid of her. And three, that she was being studied hungrily, like a bug under review by a crow. Her nape-hairs prickled in pure reflex, and she resisted the urge to stand up and move out of the looming woman's shadow. Euripides looked at Gabriel and spoke quickly, almost stumbling over his words.
Oh, she's just a friend, Celesta, from the provinces, up to see the games, you know.
He put a hand in Gabriel's arm and squeezed, almost imperceptibly.
You're out early.
The bard's eyebrows lifted, but she remained silent. Celesta settled the hip on the edge of the table.
Not to see the plays? You're not importing ringers to vote for you now, are you, Euro? No, sorry,
Gabriel cut in smoothly.
I didn't even know you were having a competition. Are you in it, too?
She kept a tone politely interested and her expression friendly. Celesta chuckled, a very melodic sound.
In a manner of speaking, yes,
she agreed, focusing almost completely on Gabriel now.
Maybe you could come and see a rehearsal. I'm sure it's something you don't get to see a lot of in the provinces.
Very true,
Gabriel smiled.
Thanks for the invitation.
Any time.
The woman stood up and returned the smile meaningfully.
Noon, at the theater. Be there.
She sauntered off, the soft, drapey white fabric of her toga outlining a slim but muscular form with just a hint of a swagger to it. Gabriel watched her go, then turned upon Euripides with direct, intense eyes.
Okay.
Her voice took on a sterner note.
What the Hades is going on here?
Her old friend hesitated.
You didn't tell her who I was for a reason,
Gabriel went on.
So what was it? Who is that?
He looked around, then leaned closer to her and lowered his voice.
That's Celesta.
Thanks. I'd gotten that far myself.
She's a native of Athens. Her family's one of the richest, most important ones in the city.
He continued on.
What a surprise.
Euripides blinked at her.
You've gotten a lot more cynical.
I've lived a lot more,
Gabriel said.
Go on.
He fiddled with his cup, then nodded.
She came to the academy about a year ago. Her father bought her a spot there.
Euripides said.
She's sort of...
He paused.
I mean, she's come up with some okay stories, but...
Another pause.
What she actually does is kind of... Well, she just runs over anyone who tries to compete with her.
The bard rested her chin on her fist.
Uh-huh.
So, she's going all out to win the Bard of Athens title.
He sighed.
She probably will, too.
But not because she has the best stories, Gabriel guessed. Is that why Homer left?
He shrugged.
I guess. He didn't talk to anyone before he took off. He was the one we all figured to win before that, though. Some of his stuff is so good, Gabriel.
Euripides gave her an unhappy look.
She's just got too much for him, I think. She stole all the best players because she could pay them and had the best rehearsal times. She bought great costumes. He just couldn't compete with that.
Uh-huh,
the bard murmured.
So, I figured telling her who you were wasn't a good idea,
he said.
She figured you were here to mess her up, and you probably don't want that kind of trouble, right?
His eyes traveled over her face, which had gone still and thoughtful.
I mean, it's bad enough she noticed you, and she did notice you, Gabriel. She's got a thing for,
Hicks from the provinces?
Gabriel asked Riley.
Good-looking blondes,
Euripides answered with an apologetic grin.
She's got quite a reputation.
Gabriel acknowledged the compliment with a smile.
Well, speaking of, I better get back.
He sighed.
It's almost time for my rehearsal.
They both stood up and Gabriel shouldered her carry bag, now full of purchases.
Listen, Gabriel.
I'll stop by,
the bard interrupted him.
But, I think it should be a surprise, don't you?
Her green eyes twinkled a little. He grinned back.
Absolutely.
Euripides put her hand on her shoulder.
See you later, okay?
Okay.
Gabrielle watched him walk off. Then she cast a speculative eye around the square, mulling over her options, before she nodded and took a determined path back the way she originally had come. A warm wind blew into the room, stirring numerous half-curled leaves on the floor before it reached a still figure lying on the pallet. Xena's eyes were closed, and her hands folded over the small volume she'd been reading. Her breathing was slow and very even. Across the room, the door inched open cautiously. Eyes peered in, watching for a long moment before the door opened wider, and slim figure slipped in, dressed in dark, nondescript clothing. The figure's gaze roamed over the room and settled finally on the saddlebag next to the pallet. A smile creased the thin face, and the figure crept silently across the floor, placing each sandaled foot within sure caution, not making even the slightest sound. Halfway there, the intruder stopped and waited, studying the sleeping figure on the bed intently. Reassured, they continued forward until the bag was in reach. The figure knelt and reached a hand out, touching the warm leather and slipping fingers along it until they curled around the strap, gathering in the slack with expert skill. Then they straightened up, lifting the bag without the slightest scuff, and turned, starting towards the door with a look of triumph, until they found themselves held in place by an iron grip around the ankle. The thief glanced back to see sparkling blue eyes and a ferocious grin, and panicked. He lunged forward desperately, pulling with all his strength against the hold on his leg.
Oh, no.
Xena growled, launching herself out of bed and grappling with him. Her weight threw him off balance, and they both crashed to the floor, knocking over the table in the room, and sending her pitcher of water in the bowl on it, flying in separate directions to shatter against the wood.
Let go!
He yelped.
Help!
He threw the bag he'd taken away, and now just struggled for his life, kicking out and striking the long arms that pinned him in place. Xena rolled to one side and pulled him with her. Then she grabbed his tunic and yanked him right over her body and onto the floor on the other side of her, almost knocking him senseless. He squealed and fought off her hands frantically, finally ripping himself loose by untying his tunic and wriggling out of it. Then he scrambled to his feet and bolted out the door, leaving it open behind him. Xena gazed at the tattered fabric in her hands, and tossed it in the corner, and rolled up into a sitting position, wincing at the jolts of pain in her leg from the abuse hitting the floor.
Son of a buckeye,
she grumbled.
Should have just chakramed him.
Footsteps sounded again, and this time her head jerked up and tilted as she recognized the distinctive pattern. With a grunt, she pushed herself to her feet and hopped back to bed, lying down quickly and picking her balance curls back up and opening them as the footsteps reached the door and stopped. For a moment, it was silent.
Xena?
Gabrielle's voice entered the room. Xena peeked over the top of the book. Hi.
What on earth have you been doing?
Innocent blue eyes widened as Xena put the scrolls down and pointed at her chest.
Me?
She asked.
Nothing. Why?
Gabrielle stood in the open doorway and surveyed the room. The wooden floor was almost obscured by leaves, branches, and bits of bark. The table was overturned. Shards of parting were scattered across the body length, size, water stain, and the chair was upside down and missing a leg. She looked at Xena, then she just shook her head and closed the door behind her. She carefully stepped around all the debris and took a seat on the edge of Xena's pallet.
Xena, a naked screaming man just came out of this room,
she remarked conversationally.
Are you sure you didn't have anything to do with that?
One dark eyebrow lifted.
Just what are you suggesting here, Gabrielle?
Xena drawled. He definitely wasn't my type. A snort. Xena chuckled.
Our thief decided to have a second try, she admitted. That's all.
Uh-huh.
Gabrielle scooped up a handful of leaves.
What about these?
Xena held up her crutch. Thought I'd probably need this. The bard examined it.
Oh.
She touched the newly made tip with a respectful finger.
Wow. That's great, Xena. But I thought...
She looked at the crutch, then glanced out the window, then looked at her soulmate. Xena shrugged modestly. Gabrielle just decided not to ask. Instead, she set her bag down, took Xena's hands in hers.
How are you feeling?
Her eyes flicked to the cup of herbs, which was now very empty.
Need more of that?
I'm okay for now, the warrior replied. How'd the shopping go? Get everything you needed?
Got more than I bargained for,
the bard told her wryly.
That Homer thing is going to be more complicated than we thought.
Gee. Xena poked inside her bag and fished out a lamb pocket sandwich her nose had already identified.
What a surprise.
She took a bite and winked. Gabrielle stuck her tongue out in response. To be continued.
Okay, that concludes this week's episode of XNU. Well, that's the 82nd episode. And that is the conclusion of part 4 of A Matter of Pride by Melissa Good. Hope everyone's enjoyed that. If anyone has any suggestions on either song, movie, or book that they'd like to recommend or suggest, please send me an email. If you have any announcements or dedications as well, send me an email as well at xena.uber@gmail.com. So until the next episode, everyone, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.